B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, hey! Welcome to the DraftKings Over Under Show. It's time to celebrate, celebrate, celebrations. Dan Lifschitz, are you with us today, sir?
I am, sir. How you doing?
How are you? I've seen nobody. So who is running the show today?
Tuck is running the show.
Tucker. Hi. Hi, Tuck.
Hi.
Well, let's start it off with the old victory cigar, kid. Betting in Massachusetts has been passed by the House. And now it just needs the old John Hancock or Herbie Hancock, whoever one you believe. To pass this thing, and Dan, we will be betting on our apps, going to the casino, maybe getting tickets as well, and who knows, maybe a new horse racing play. I don't know, but I'm shocked, Dan. I know we've kind of covered this already, but here we are, a show we've been doing every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Imagine that, every morning, 7 o'clock for the last three, four years now, we've been doing betting in. Now it is finally passed and soon to be legal.
Yeah, and again, I've said it all week. I'll continue to say it, Joe. I'm stunned that it's legalized. Absolutely stunned. I can't believe that they actually passed it. I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy. I think that what Massachusetts did is actually a great deal, and I honestly never expected it from the politicians who, for whatever reason, for 3-4 years just couldn't seem to get it together and could not figure it out. Well, it looks like they have finally figured it out, and they've struck a pretty good deal. I mean, not to mention, you know, the fact that we have, you know, 7 mobile carriers. Obviously you want some more, but you know, you already have 2 carriers with the Wynn and MGM that don't count. Plus you're going to be able to tether yourself to racetracks and other places like Plain Ridge, et cetera, et cetera. So we could be looking at potentially up to 13 different sports books in Massachusetts, which is a very, very good number. Again, not the best number, but you can't always get everything in a deal, but a very good number. So I'm very pleased here, Joe. I think it worked out very well. And for the people who listen to the show, it's going to be great. You're going to have options to go to. You're going to be able to go to different books. You know, hopefully there'll be some more casino licenses or et cetera. You know, there'll be kiosks. Massachusetts is going to try the kiosk thing. So look, this is going to be a good thing. However you want to cut it, this is going to be a good thing. You'll probably, you know, hopefully there'll be something in Fenway, and hopefully there'll be something in Gillette, and you'll be able to bet during games. And look, that's all we really wanted, is just kind of be able to do what we need to do. They're not going to allow credit cards, so they're going to try and save people that way, mm-hmm. obviously. You know, there is no guarantee that that's going to work, but you know, they put in the necessary stops they believe that are going to be okay for the state, and that works for me. So I'm perfectly happy with the deal. And again, I think I owe both the House and the Senate, an apology. I did not believe that this was going to happen. I said some very mean things about them recently, and I will continue to say that I was wrong.
Hey, real quick, you're taking your L, all right? But I think that your L should be massaged a little bit, because Dan, after we spoke last week, I talked to Senator Feeney.
Yep.
And he literally said to me that they have been feeling the heat of late because Mark Bertrand has been on his midday show talking with Eric Lesser constantly and like having people like email your senator and like, and they were feeling the heat, man. And I think the number one thing, and I, in any business, and how many times have we complained about this? Eating in your backyard, man. When you're a business owner and you're in a town and you know that like your competitor is taking people from your town, there's nothing that hurts worse. Nothing that hurts. And I do think that the complaining, the being upset about it, the publicly doing this, Dan, using this forum, I mean, hell, you've said things before. We've gotten emails. You know what I'm saying? But I think in the end, dude, I think it was all worth it. I think we had to do this. And obviously people have made their voice heard, but that was something that I took away, was that these guys don't want to hear it anymore. They're actually like, they do think now it's a clown show. And that's the one takeaway, is that the voices were heard. And from what I gather, again, I wasn't there, but it seems like there may have been some sides that were holding this up for a while.
And they tapped
out late, because what was the deadline? Midnight, right?
Right.
And it went into the more early morning. Let's just say there may have been some people that weren't a part of those in the early morning. And that thing got passed.
Yeah. Are you surprised that there are some people who are holding it up?
No. And listen, I don't want to play the field of, hey, this name versus that name, but there was a side that wanted a lot of other things done before sports betting. And that's where I'm going with this, is that they literally sat in a room for a whole entire day when they didn't have to, on the last Saturday of July. And we're like, listen, I know the deadline's midnight, but like, let's get this done. They didn't work on anything else besides sports betting.
And that's crazy to me, because there were other topics that needed, you know, work on, and there are other topics that they could have been discussing. The fact is that we didn't know the discussions, and what we weren't privy to what was going on during that time. And, you know, on Saturday, from everything we heard, they weren't even close to a deal. And to me, that was like, okay, well, they're not even going to bother talking about it Sunday. They're not even close to it. They have other things that are more important, than, you know, other things on the radar that they need to, you know, close and finish before the end of everything else. Sports betting is going to be the last thing on their agenda, because why do they need it? It hasn't been an important thing for them the past couple of weeks. Why would it be one now? All of a sudden, it passes. So, look, again, stunned, surprised, pleased. I think that's kind of the, you know, those are the adjectives you talk about when you look at this deal. Massachusetts did, in all things considered, a relatively very good job with this bill. And I think that within the next 5-10 years, they can edit it even more, add things, subtract things, whatever they want to do.
The landscape will be really competitive and will open up big time. And that will
keep lines down, even with, you know, a tax that's, you know, somewhat high. I mean,
but we're not, stuff, and I want to make that clear. We don't pay.
Correct.
The casino pay. So you pay what you put 110 to win 100. There's no tax.
Right. You're getting your $100. That tax rate is what the operator will pay. So if DraftKings comes in, et cetera, and it's in the state of Massachusetts, DraftKings is going to pay 25% on whatever their profit is, and that profit will go to the state. So that is how the tax rate works. Now, there will be a certain tax rate if you win a certain amount, or et cetera, et cetera. We don't have those exact details just yet, but if you – you know, go to the casino and you bet, you know, 110 to win 100, you're not going to get taxed on that. So, you know, you go in, get a ticket, you're not going to get taxed on that.
It's consumer friendly as hell. And that's the way I look at it. But the nuts and bolts of it, we won't do it all show, but we're happy. This is a gambling show. We haven't reacted on this platform. So big day in Massachusetts. Betting on college sports, non-mass teams, is in the bill. And I think they nailed it. Just don't bet on their local teams. It's fine.
Yeah, and they did. I think they did an even better job than most other places, like New Jersey. If they're in a tournament, for instance, like March Madness or the College Football Final Four, or, you know, or the Frozen Four, or whatever, yada yada yada, and you have BC and BU in the Frozen Four, Boston College and UMass.
How about BC in the national championship, Dan, or the college playoff? How about that one?
You can bet on them. So that changes things even more. So to me, that is another component that Massachusetts added in that other places did not add in. And I think that is a fantastic addition, that once again, the state of Massachusetts did a better job than some other states with.
Yep. That was one of the casinos and racetracks will be able to take bets. You mentioned the 7 mobile licenses. I had a few other things come my way. that maybe it's not fully discussed, but it sounds like a thoroughbred racetrack. They got a license for it. There isn't one yet right now. Obviously, okay. They're Suffolk Downs, but it's a strong bill, was what I was told. Collegiate and pro, except for mass schools. Each of the three casinos will get a license plus two mobile skins. Raynham and Suffolk simulcast locations will each have a license, as we mentioned. A future thoroughbred track will get a license if built. So I just want to throw that one out there. If built, they will get a license. Yep. But this is consumer friendly. And like the whole tax stuff that we were like marijuana, you buy tax, you got to pay a lot for that. You know what I mean? You got to pay the tax on it. It's expensive. Not with betting. You go in, you put up your money, you're going to get what's owed. I think this is very consumer friendly. It'll be literally available. I can't wait till we pump gas, right? And then while we're pumping our gas, we can just like put in a bet at the, you know, like on a kiosk. That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, that's it again. That's how it should be. That's how it's done overseas. You can go into, you know, a corner store and bet whatever the store has, whatever they'll take. If it's a bet, you know, they have like Bet 365 and other operations there. You can just jump in the corner store and bet those places. We don't have that here. That's not a thing that happens in Massachusetts or really a lot of other places in the United States. And I mean, look, if you want to be able to do that, you should have the right to be able to do that. That's the reality of the situation.
Yeah. And then just another thing I wanted to make clear was we don't know. Nobody knows when it gets finally signed, when this thing will be legal. There's been multiple reports out there. I know that one of the senators right away said they want it in time for football season. I know that some places are ready. I think it's unrealistic. But, hey, could it be ready by the Super Bowl? Mid-season? Maybe.
So I think it's possible that we see it for in-person, Joe. I think in-person should be ready by the start of the football season. They sign in the place. It should be in. It should be ready. That's the reality of the situation is everything should be in and should be ready by that time for in-person betting. The question is, are they going to allow it before mobile is available? And that's kind of the question that's going to arise for Massachusetts in the next coming weeks is, do they want to allow it all together? Or are they willing to kind of allow it in certain ways, maybe in person for right now and then mobile in a couple of weeks? And that's really going to be the question of how is the rollout going to happen and how is the state going to do it? Are we going to wait, 6 months, 8 months to do it? Or are we going to be able to do some of it right away and we're going to roll out the rest as we go? So that's really going to be the question in the next couple of weeks here. And we're going to find out pretty quickly, I think.
Well, the cash registers are open. We have opportunities galore on this program. If you want to get involved, call somebody or reach out to us. But this thing's going to get competitive, Dan. This thing's going to get good. It's going to be like books everywhere. It's going to be like the Penn and Barstool. And then it's going to be, the FanDuel. And, who else is going to come in here at that point? DraftKings is here. Watch what happens with New Hampshire now and Connecticut and all that. Watch how they capitalize on this because they've been eating well for a while. So I can't wait to see how it all goes down, but it's about time. Like it really wasn't. I know that the normal people in the world are going to say, you mean to tell me that they sat in a room just to get betting like legalized? Yes, they did. Yep. Yes. You know why? Because they know there's a lot of money in it.
Yeah, and if you remember, our buddy Captain Caveman brings it up. Barstool is already tethered to Plainridge. They struck a deal a while back, so they're already tethered to Plainridge, which means that without even questioning, Barstool already is in and has both in two licenses. Wynn is going to be in and has two licenses, and MGM is already in and has two licenses. So those three are already in.
Yep.
DraftKings is definitely going to get a mobile license. I would be absolutely. Yeah,
they're in Boston, and the governor has been behind them the whole time. So.
Yep. So I'd be very surprised if FanDuel did not get one. You know, the other big ones are missing. You know, Caesars is going to be interesting.
Well, I think Wynn will because they have an association.
Wynn automatically has it. Yeah. Wynn is already tied up to the Encore. Yeah. So Caesars is going to be interesting. William Hill is going to be interesting. We're going to have to find out exactly what some of these other big ones are, but the big boys, I assume, are going to be in and are going to be competitive and offer good lines.
Oh yeah. Get those promo codes.
So I will say, Joe, Baker has until the 11th to sign this, right?
Yep.
It's Saturday, August 6th. Do we expect that to happen in the next couple of days?
Yeah.
Should we bet on it?
Well, if you want, somebody
are we allowed to bet on it?
Well, somebody did ask Tuck, what would happen first? Would you see Halloween candy or sports betting? And I think we already got our answer on that one. But no pop for that one. No.
What?
What'd you see first? Halloween candy or sports betting? I was making fun of your Halloween.
Oh, yeah. The way I saw a Halloween display at a Shaw's yesterday, August 5th.
Pretty early.
Yeah.
But the timetable, though, and we'll get back to that. The timetable, though, Dan, this is what's going to happen, all right? Every big announcement is based around something else. Who opens up on Thursday this week? This upcoming week?
Gotcha, the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Okay.
Come on, Wednesday sports dump.
Okay, I can see
the governor today signed the bill to pass legalized betting.
I'm not doubting it. More just concerned with the fact that we have.
Why wasn't this thing done already?
Right. I mean, that's kind of my biggest.
He should have just brand his name on the thing.
Right.
Already. Why are we waiting the 11 days or whatever it is until the 11th? Right. So I think that's why I don't have concern. Someone asked, any reason for concern? Well, yeah, there is. But I think that publicly the governor has been behind it. So if he doesn't, that's a bad look on him. Very bad look. So I just think they're basing it around Patriot season and they'll announce it Wednesday, Thursday.
I mean, that would be great. I believe that this will be done. I don't believe that there's going to be any issues. I'm just merely bringing up the fact that it hasn't been signed into place, and I'd like to have it done sooner rather than later. That's all. Mm-hmm. Sooner rather than later.
Someone else did ask this question. What if you win a big bet? Do I pay taxes like jackpot at the slot machine? I don't have the answer on that one, but I know you will have to pay a tax.
So again, it's going to depend on a lot of stuff. For instance, if you win a bet over a certain amount in New Hampshire and you cash a ticket, they have to take it down for tax reasons.
$700 or $800, I think. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
it's more. Oh, okay.
It's like $3,500 or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
That.
Okay.
If you win a bet, I believe in Connecticut. In Connecticut, and if it's a parlay of certain odds or over like $50,000, I think, then they have to take down your tax information. So, look, it's going to be different in every single state, and that's kind of the thing. We don't have the details yet for Massachusetts on what is going to be the actual tax rate. I'm going to suggest it's probably going to be somewhere in between New Hampshire and Connecticut. I don't think it's going to be as free rolling as Connecticut, and I don't think it's going to be as strict as New Hampshire. So my guess is, you know, probably somewhere in the 5,000 to 10,000 range, but that's just a guess. There's no real information on that anywhere out there. So we'll find out. Again, it's Massachusetts, Taxachusetts, so they'll definitely get you at some point. But again, if you're putting down big bets, here's a suggestion. Spread it out into multiple different tickets.
Yep.
And then there you go. You're good.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. Yeah, I was trying to find the number. I don't see it right now. But all right. There it is. Sports betting. This week we'll have the official. Maybe we'll play the Macho Man music, get it all going. We'll take a big picture. You know, the governor going out on one last hurrah. Yay! Sports betting. All right, speaking of sports betting, we're breaking down the AFC East today. How about that? That means the Patriots will be featured on this show today. The phone number here is 617-779-0985. He is Dan Livshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show. We'll talk to you right after this.
The DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz. The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we're back here on 98.5, The Sports Hub in Boston, Massachusetts, streaming live across the app on the 98.5, The Sports Hub app. So we did a lot of sports gambling stuff in the first hour, first segment there. So I'm sure that will post people. We have some updates on the tax withheld and all that. So we'll retweet that. How about that? We'll just retweet it so people can go to our pages at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifschitz, and figure it all out. So, all right, Dan, we got the Hall of Fame game the other night. Did you see Jarrett Stidham in action?
I did. I watched the game, and it's been pretty obvious to me that Jarrett Stidham was the beneficiary of, first off, having more talent around him. The fact that, you know, Vegas was using guys like Jacobs in the game, which to me was insane that they were using Josh Jacobs. Why would you use your number one running back in a early preseason game? Like, what, Josh? You need to see Josh Jacobs run more. He's been in the league for like 5 years.
He played at Alabama. He had enough time. Like, you know what I mean?
You know what he is. So to me, that's Josh McDaniels wanting to win that game. That's what it is. Ooh. And we talked about it, you know, with Tucker and Rich. I told you that the line had moved significantly. There was a real sharp bet that took that line from plus one or a pick'em down to minus two, 2.5. And that was released by the RAS Sports Group. And to me, that's the case, is that, you know, it was very clear that there was a motivation of McDaniels to win that game. He kept his starters in longer. He used more of his starters, both on defense and on offense. I thought it was really not embarrassing by McDaniels, because I understand why he wanted to win, but I thought it was extremely strange that he kept his starters in longer, you know, just because, like, it was important for him to win that game. Okay. I mean, you know, whatever. It's his choice. He had a few guys who got hurt. They look like they're okay, so nothing major in that one. But I don't really understand, you know, why you would use all your starters there. And again, I was on the Raiders in that situation. So, you know, it was great, but the fact was, I still don't really understand it. I'm just glad football is back. But yeah, we're going to see some really stupid bonehead decisions by football head coaches during the preseason. And I think one thing that maybe Josh McDaniels has to learn is don't play all your starters so long in the preseason. It's just not worth it. And I don't wonder, as a guy who's been in the league for a long time, I am a little bit concerned and confused why McDaniels was using his starters and, you know, almost into the season, some starters in the second half. Like, why? There's no need for that. So it was a little concerning, but hey, just glad football's back, to be honest with you.
Yeah. The line, as you mentioned, was like one. It went to 2.5 is what I saw. I didn't bet on the game.
It was Raiders plus one. Raiders plus one, and they closed minus 2.5. Some places actually closed 3.
Well, I just, again, preseason sports to me is information. I think we got a lot of information in that game. Like, so Dan, I didn't bet on it. I liked the Raiders. I just thought that, you know, they're in a better situation than the Jaguars right now. And, you know, they have a couple of Nick Mullins and Jarrett Stidham, where I just thought they'd move the ball a little bit. Well, that was the line, was 2.5. The over-under was 30.5. Final score was 27-11. So there you go. You get your Vegas. You get your Vegas in the over, and you hit both. So Was it a pretty game? No. Or any of that. Like, nobody's there. But there was profit to be made based off information. The line was fairly, 30 was, to me, low. But whatever. I just wanted to at least bring that to the table because I'm already looking at lines right now. And that one just stood out to me. It opened as Raiders as a dog to them being favored. And I like that type of line movement, Dan. And I know that there's, like, against the spread percentages, especially in the NBA this year, when the line moved, like, wow. There was but when someone goes from an underdog to a favorite, do you always, in that case, Dan, do you have like a model when the line goes from an underdog, the person goes from an underdog to a favorite? Example, the Patriots Super Bowl against Seattle. They opened, I believe, +1.
Right.
And they were a 1-point dog. And then they were -1 at kickoff, I believe. So the line moved. But I don't know. Do you have when you see line movement, how do you generally play it?
So again, I think there's different types of line movement. I'll give you a perfect example. If you see a line move based upon, I don't know, a sharp release, a sharp move, whether it's from a betting syndicate. And if you don't know what a syndicate is, that's a group of very good bettors who kind of come together and usually have a specificity in kind of everything. So they specialize. Yeah, there you go.
Can we put that one on a shirt, please?
Grab that one. They specialize in a certain thing. So some person will maybe specialize in NFL over-unders. Some person may specialize in baseball strikeouts, etc. And you'll have a group of bettors who kind of do everything, and they bet everything together. And you usually have at least one guy or two guys on your team to kind of check and double-check. So what happens is you need big betting syndicates, and the ones that are very successful get down a ton of money, obviously. And they'll move lines. And, you know, you don't want to get caught in, you know, just following syndicates and moving and taking the number after them. Because what happens is these guys will take a +2.5, and all of a sudden that team will be -1. They lose by one. You lose the bet. They win the bet. Long term, you're going to lose overtime. They're going to win overtime. So that's not a good way of doing it. In fact, I would tell you that you really need to find the value in the bet before the big guys get their numbers on. And that's kind of the name of the game, to get the value before the numbers move. For instance, Green Bay was, I think, 3. So coming up August 12th, they played the San Francisco 49ers. Green Bay was +3. Now they're +1. Some places they're -1, -1.5. The Atlanta Falcons also on August 12th take on the Detroit Lions in a preseason game. Atlanta was +3. Now they're -2.5. So again, another similar swing as we're seeing. So look, especially in preseason, you're going to have these large swings due to the fact that there's going to be a lot of guys who are either playing or aren't playing, et cetera, et cetera. Miami, Tampa Bay on August 13th, that number has dropped considerably in the total was 33.5. Now it's 32. Basically, both coaches have kind of come out there and said that they don't really care. And that neither of them are going to play probably their first stringers that game. In that case, you're going to have worse players playing.
I need a total, Dan. What's the total?
Right now, the total is currently 32. But again, do you want to chase that number? It was 33.5. Now you're getting 32.5. You're missing whole points and a half.
Opening, but okay, there you go.
So again, and that's kind of what I would say is don't chase steam. Steam chasers usually get killed. It's not a profitable strategy to bet long term. Just doesn't work.
Steam chasing, I like that. And all I think of is Sam Rothstein from Casino when he's like, get rid of Cowboys -2, and everyone runs to the payphone to be like, he likes Cowboys -2. And then all these people just start betting the Cowboys, and it moves the line. You know what I mean?
And he takes the other side. Bingo.
There you go. Boom, bada, boom, 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 boom. All right. That was a lesson, Dan. I like steam chasing. I think that could be a bit that we could do.
That is what people call it, because there are guys who give out picks on Twitter, you know, these handicappers, and what they literally do is if something moves, they'll just give out the line before it moved, and it's called steam chasing. That's what they do.
Yeah, and it's funny because at the All-Star break, MLB did this. They would post what the original line was, and then hey, this is what they're projected now, and it like shows the how much they were off or how bad the team is really off, and it's like, eesh, that opening number, man, because I'd still bet it off that opening number too. Like I'd look at like the Red Sox at 84. Like I think today it was like 81.5 was the number, and it's like based off that 84, I don't think I want to go over on 81.5. You know, because it's the steam or it's the cool or it's the cooler.
I get it. No, I do. I understand that. Look, just you got to be careful, okay? But I am going to give out. How about this? I'm going to give out a win total today that has moved. And again, I missed the best number, but I still think there is some perceived value in the number overall. So I'm going to give that out. We actually talked about the NFC East last week. I'm going to give out an NFC bet that I told you NFC East that I told you I needed to look into more, and I'm going to give that one out. I'm also going to give out an AFC East bet today, Joe, when we talk about the AFC East. So I'm going to give both. One out in each division because I didn't give out an NFC one last week, so I'm giving one out this week.
All right, let's take a quick break right now because we want to feature the AFC East today. Really break that down. Let's do the Jets first. Who some think they had a very nice draft this year, but we will break down the AFC East. Anyone that once you get in on any of that, the Jets talk coming up next. So we'll break early. We can do a long segment next. Phone number 617-779-0985, and we will look at the Jets coming up next here on the Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, you're here until 9 a.m. today, breaking down the AFC East. I figured we'd start with the Jets, Dan, that have some promise, or should I say optimism, going into the new season here. Of course, Zach Wilson will be in his second year. They got a couple of nice little pieces around them as well. But, you know, for me, Dan, it comes down to Robert Saleh. Like, there's something about that guy that, like, I liked him as a defensive coach, but, woof, I thought they were pretty bad when it came to their offense a season ago, and there's already talk at camp that Joe Flacco looks better than Zach Wilson. So that's not good, but before we get into it, your thoughts on the New York Jets, their win total this year, and do you see some optimism?
Nope, I do not. I think it's going to be much more of the same with the New York Jets. Their schedule this year is extremely difficult. They play obviously the same divisions that the Patriots and the Bills and everyone else in the AFC East does. The fact is that, you know, they do catch a few breaks early on, but I feel the middle of their schedule is absolutely brutal, and that's where things are probably going to go wrong for them. They get to face Cleveland on the road week 2. That's probably going to be without Deshaun Watson. That's definitely going to be without Deshaun Watson. He's been suspended for, 6 games. Six now, and so, and now the appeal. So it's going to either be 6 or more. So they're going to catch Cleveland without Watson, which is good, but that game is going to be in Cleveland. They have to go to Heinz Field, which I think is, you know, that's one of their winnable games, but that one's on the road. So that's going to make it a little bit more difficult. You know, they have to go to Green Bay and to Denver back-to-back games. And then they get the Patriots and Buffalo after that. So to me, that four-game stretch, week 6, 7, 8, 9, even include week 5 if you want, home versus Miami, at Green Bay, at Denver, home versus New England, home versus Buffalo. To me, that's one of the most brutal stretch in the entire league. Or one of them. I mean, you know, going to Green Bay and going to Mile High, like that's awful. And then your two best, you know, potentially two of your best division opponents back to back weeks after that. And then you get a bye and then you're back on the road in New England. So to me, it just an absolutely brutal schedule there. I do think the end of the year, the schedule, you know, softens up and is a little bit easier for them. They get Chicago at home November 27th. They get Detroit and Jacksonville, you know, at home back-to-back weeks, December 18th and December 22nd. And they get, you know, Seattle January 1st. It's in Seattle, but still winnable game. Look, take a look at their schedule. I think they have winnable games right now, in Cleveland on the road. I think that's a winnable game. In Pittsburgh on the road, I think that's a winnable game. I think they get Miami too early at home, early in the year, Joe. Is New England at home Sunday, October 30th? Is that a winnable game? I don't think so, but I'll give it to them as a potential upset. So maybe three winnable games. November 27th is a winnable game to me. December 18th, again, which is Chicago. December 18th, which is Detroit, Jacksonville, and Seattle January 1st. So right now I give them about 7 winnable games. I don't and you probably add in an extra one. They'll probably upset someone. They pulled some good upsets last year, especially at home. So maybe they have 8 winnable games. And I don't think they're going 6-2 in that stretch. I would be, you know, honestly, I'd be very surprised if that was the case. I don't. Everyone expects this big jump from Zach Wilson this year. I told you, Joe, I didn't like him coming out of college. I didn't think that New York was the right fit for him, schematically or the coach. And I definitely thought that he's a kid who really is not ready for New York City. I really don't like the fit for him still. I don't think there's anything that has changed in my mind. I don't think Robert Saleh was a very good head coach last year. I thought he struggled mightily, and I didn't think that it was just due to the fact that, you know, his team wasn't great. I thought he wasn't a good head coach. So to me, this one's pretty easy, Joe. Give me Jets under 6 wins plus 110. PP, lock that thing up for me. Talk PP that bad boy.
Boom. Well, yeah. Well, look at last year. They went 4-13, right? The wins last year were Tennessee and Cincinnati.
Right. And again, then, I think they'll get some upset wins. You know what I mean? Like that, they're that type of team.
And they were better than the Texans and Jags. So they get the Jags again this year. So I agree with you. So it's 5.5 is the number, or 6, wherever you want, you're looking at. I have them at, I'm looking at it at 5-12. That's what I see. And I'm being generous on a few games. But I have them at 5-12. So I still believe in Zach Wilson. I don't know if New York is the fit. But this is a kid that I thought was dynamic. He does seem smaller in the NFL than he did when he was at BYU breaking records. But a few upgrades for them. Like right off the bat, Corey Davis, Elijah Moore is going to be in his second year. They drafted Garrett Wilson. Maybe they did it a little too high, but they still have Denzel Mims, who they drafted from years ago. So they have playmakers in Braxton Berrios, right, who they're bringing back. That's kind of their big pieces. But their line can improve. I know Elijah Vera Tucker is going to be back for another year. And they added Azoma from their big tight end, the guy that was that in Tyler Conklin. Good pickup. Yep. So
see, I do not think that's a good pickup. He doesn't fit the scheme that they run. It's a weird addition.
Considering their tight ends for the past few years, yeah, I think it's a good
Ryan
pickup.
Griffin or something.
Oh, it's been a dumpster fire at that position for them.
I think Conklin is going to be significantly better than Uzoma. Uzoma doesn't fit their scheme. It's a weird addition.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, yeah, the guy fit with Cincinnati, will he fit? But they needed a name, and I think that's kind of what Tucker's talking about. Is like, hey, they got two guys in here that I can actually play.
They needed somebody for defenses to actually plan around, and they have not had that for the past few years. But whether it's Chris Herndon or Ryan Griffin, it's been awful there.
But don't you guys think that that's going to be Conklin? Because Conklin, if you saw when he ran in that Minnesota system, which is somewhat similar to what the Jets kind of run with their offensive system, is that Conklin was almost like that hybrid wide receiver tight end. I think that he'll be way more successful than Uzomah. Plus, Uzomah gets hurt all the time, man. I think that Uzomah contract, look, it's one of those you buy low, sell high type things. And the Jets have said, bought high, and I think they'll end up selling. They always do this. They sign like the bigger name tight ends. They fail out, and then we do the same thing over and over again. It's like banging your head against the wall. I'm telling you, Uzomah's going to be a disaster there.
I don't know if he'll be a disaster. Like
I think it's going to be. It's the same thing.
You're telling a fantasy guy that
they're both respectable, which again is something they haven't had.
That's fair, but I'll tell you this. I played Uzomah unders on everything. He doesn't fit the scheme. He doesn't fit what they want to do. They don't have a guy who can get it over to him in the middle. Burrow has an arm and can use him correctly. Wilson has an arm but throws it erratically. I mean, there's no consistency between the two guys right now. So, I just think that people are going a lot. I think Conklin is the significantly better signing. Okay. I think Conklin would be the one that at least they know how to use.
So I'm a big fan of Michael Carter. I thought he was explosive, dynamic at UNC. He didn't get a lot of burn last year. LaMichael Perine was a fine addition as a fourth round pick, and maybe he can be their third down back. They got Tevin Coleman there. But Breece Hall, for anybody who watched him in college, I think he might start right away, I think. But there is reason to be excited for Breece Hall. The numbers he put up in his projection for the NFL. Hey, if they can get something from Carter and Hall and all, because they're a big part of the receiving game, that could be some good checkdowns that could be better than what we're looking at on paper here. But they got some young running backs here who can make some plays.
When Robert Saleh shows me that he knows how to run an offense, and he or his Kim and his coaching staff, I really should say, because it's not fair to group him in, I'll believe it. But until then, I don't really know what to tell you. I don't think Robert Saleh is a really good coach. I think he's, in fact, I tell you that I think Robert Saleh is a pretty bad coach. And I think that this is going to be probably once again a pretty big swing and a miss for a guy like Robert Saleh. I think that maybe the Jets can have be okay here and there, but do you guys have faith in him to lead this team to anything more than 4 wins this year?
I'd love if the defense was better. Like if the defense was like, hey, that wow, this Saleh guy really can get this defense playing. Like if the offense could do a little more,
What big addition did they make defensively? I mean, really,
well, the only ones I can think of is Sauce Gardner and Jermaine Johnson.
I mean, and that's it. Like, and again, rookie kids. And Sauce Gardner's, don't get me wrong, I really like him. I think they signed Solomon Thomas too. But like, I mean, We're talking about guys on the periphery of the roster. They didn't make a lot of additions with the exception of Conklin and Uzomah. I mean, they brought back pretty much the same roster. They brought back Tevin Coleman, which again, like, I think who's the other guy? DJ Reed, I think is the guy that they is the defensive kid.
Yeah,
that they
he's going to be their right corner. They want to start Gardner on the left. They still have LaMarcus Joyner and Walt Whitehead, and yep. They got Michael Carter in the slot, who they've liked there. So in Breece Hall is another guy that plays a lot for them, but they are bringing the band back, Dan. I think they are trying to build it their way. You mentioned Solomon Thomas up front as someone that, Quinnen Williams. If they can get Jermaine Johnson to be the guy that, the motivated player that could have been one of the top pick in the draft, they can hit on that kid, man, and he could be a playmaker at the end with a pass rush. They got something. C.J. Mosley, obviously, has been pretty consistent for them over the years, but I don't see them as a 7-8 win team at all. And the total's 5.5, and you've clearly don't like them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would still take them under 5.5. There's tons of sixes out there. The most common number right now is six, which is why I'm giving it 6 again. Like, you know, their starting corners might be LaMarcus Joyner and Jordan Whitehead. And I know Whitehead was, you know, played pretty well in that Tampa Bay defense. But, like, I mean, seriously, like, you know, that's a guy that's going to get left on an island when, you know, when he has to play back there with LaMarcus Joyner. I mean, seriously, everything you look at with this team just screams, again, they're continuing the rebuild. They're not yet there. They haven't, you know, they're not at the point where they can really start winning a large portion of games. You know, I really think at best they're, you know, really at their actual peak, they could be a 6-win team this year. I mean, that's really what I think is that, you know, their best possible scenario, they're winning 6 games.
I mean, you're just looking at their first half stretch here before the week 10 bye week. Being optimistic, they could probably go 2-7 here.
That's exactly my point. Now the back end of their schedule is going to be better, right. But by then have guys quit on Salah. And, you know, when you face a guy like, you know, Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions, who, by the way, they sucked last year, but they didn't quit, and Detroit comes into New York. Is that, even though that's a winnable game for the Jets, is that team going to come in? Are they going to be able to face a more motivated Lions team? Let's say that Lions team is, you know, has 5 or 6 wins at that point. Like, you know, and they're not going to make the playoffs, but at least they're playing for something. The Jets could have, what, 4 wins by that time? 3, you know, 5 wins? I don't know, man. I just look at this team. I'd say, you know, where are they going to get the victories? Are they going to be able to go on the road in Cleveland and win a big game, even against a backup like Jacoby Brissett? Because if they don't win that game early, I mean, really, who are they going to beat in the first 9 weeks? Baltimore at Cleveland, home versus Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh, Miami, at Green Bay, at Denver, New England, Buffalo. Like, you better win.
I have them 2-7 right there.
I have them 1-8.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Maybe Cleveland, Dan, but that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I don't. It's not good. Then they get the bye, and you mentioned they go to the Patriots. The Bears is a winnable game. The Vikings probably not. The Bills probably not. The Lions, they can. They get Lions, Jacksonville. If they could somehow win that and Seattle, they won 3 in a row.
Right, but again, I they're not going to win 3 in a row. Right, you know what I mean? They'll either win 2 out of 3 or 1 out of 3. That's how usually teams go. And they'll probably pull another upset or two. So we're talking about maybe, you know, if they get 2 or 3 wins in the back end, and, you know, maybe they get 1 or 2 in the front. I think they're a 4 to 5 win football team. And I think that if Zach Wilson takes another big step, sure, they could be a 6 to 7 win football team. But I think you're asking for a lot of good things to happen there. And I think you're also expecting to win almost every game that they can win.
I will say this. The draft picks are very good that they've had over the last few years. So maybe they can get one of them to really stand out, and hopefully for them, it is Zach Wilson. All right, we'll take a break here. Again, this hour of the Sports Hub is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, who wants to help prepare your car for all your road trips. They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service. You don't even need to make an appointment. Visit getanoilchange.com for a coupon to save on your next oil change. The Jets are down. Let's look at the next team in the division, which would be the New England Patriots. We'll do that at the top of the hour coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Woo! It's funny, we're back here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show, hour number 2. We first segment today, we partied because, or we celebrated because gambling is legal. Yeah. And you can go listen to the first hour of our podcast today, which we talked all about it. So we'll save it for that. But yeah, Dan, it was funny because I was like, you know, when it happened, I was like in a good mood like you were. And then I was just thinking, I was like playing Blowing Money Fast. And then the Breaking Bad scene when they lay on the money, you know what I mean? I just started just like getting really excited. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just like, it was just, it felt good.
Yeah, I couldn't play my typical 8 a.m. Open, by
that's
the way.
Right.
Because all my things are missing.
Yeah, Dan, the L drive. Whoosh,
No, my folder. Oh, just mine.
The Tucker folder.
Only mine.
Only the Tucker folder.
Yeah, second time this has happened. Yep.
Likes Tucker.
We've done the show for many years.
This guy, delete.
That guy produces our show. He needs his stuff. Anyone who's listening. Anyways, Dan, we have a caller who would like to talk about the Jets and get into the Patriots, who we're about to break down next. So let's talk to Corey, who's in Boston. Hello, Corey.
Hey, how's it going, guys? And congrats to everyone on legalization. It's a great great time to be in Mass. Dan, I have a feeling you're not going to like this one, but I'm on the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Woo! It's funny, we're back here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show, hour number 2. We first segment today, we partied because, or we celebrated because... gambling is legal. Yeah. And you can go listen to the first hour of our podcast today, which we talked all about it. So we'll save it for that. But yeah, Dan, it was funny because I was like, you know, when it happened, I was like in a good mood like you were. And then I was just thinking, I was like playing Blowing Money Fast. And then the Breaking Bad scene when they lay on the money, you know what I mean? I just started just like getting really excited. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just like, it was just, it felt good.
Yeah, I couldn't play my typical 8 a.m. Open, by
that's
the way.
Right.
Because all my things are missing.
Yeah, Dan, the L drive.
No, my folder. Just mine.
The Tucker folder.
Only mine.
Only the Tucker folder.
Yeah, it's second time this has happened. Yep.
Likes Tucker.
We've done the show for many
years. This guy? Delete.
That guy produces our show. He needs his stuff. Anyone who's listening. Anyways, Dan, we have a caller who would like to talk about the Jets and get into the Patriots, who we're about to break down next. So let's talk to Corey, who's in Boston. Hello, Corey.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good. And congrats to everyone on legalization. It's a great great time to be in Mass. Dan, I have a feeling you're not going to like this one, but I'm on the Pats last in the division at plus 450. Wow. Look, I don't love the roster. Up and down, we lost some of my favorite players personally.
Wait, real quick. Last in the division. So just think of the bet, okay? It's 450. So you're going to put $100 up or whatever you want for 450, hypothetically.
Yeah, I already put 500 on it.
Okay, cool. So that's a lot of money. So you think that the Pats are going to finish below the Jets after our breakdown?
So it's not that I think it's a slam dunk, but I think it should be a little – I think it's going to be close. And the market's telling you it's going to be close. The Pats are at 8.5, yeah. Very slight juice on the over. The Jets are at 6. If a couple things go the Jets' way, I think it could happen, especially if the Jets beat, you know, have a better head-to-head record than the Patriots, and they tie, then I would still win my bet.
But like, let me just ask you this.
Hold on. Okay, go ahead, Corey, what do you believe the percentage is that the Patriots will finish last? If you had to put a percentage on the likelihood that the Patriots will finish last, what is it?
I think it's probably right around 30%.
35%. Whoa. Wow. Okay. Well, then you must love that bet. I think it's more
likely they finish in first, Dan, than they finish in last.
Yeah, I agree, Corey. I think you're looking more at around a bet percentage and an implied probability of more around 12%. Then you should be looking at 30%. The Jets have a quarterback who has shown last year that he wasn't able to be an effective quarterback as a rookie. They've shown that they have a coach that wasn't able to be an effective head coach. You have, regardless of how everyone feels around this town about the coordinators being whatever, those are two guys who have been successful as coordinators, so successful that other organizations hired them to be head coaches. Now, they failed out as head coaches, and I'm not telling you they're going to be fantastic on the other side of the ball, but they were so good at what they did, be it special teams and defense, that other teams looked at them and said, well, we're going to hire them as our head coaches for our football team. The Jets hired a guy who clearly can't get – I mean, you say the Patriots have a lack of talent. The Jets' defense – I mean, they have LaMarcus Joyner potentially being one of their starting safeties. LaMarcus Joyner hasn't been good in 5 years. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you say there's a lack of talent on the Patriots roster. I don't see it, brother. I think you're looking at the wrong roster. I think if anything, you should be looking at the Jets roster.
Yeah, and Corey, just real quick. All right, so you made your bet. That's fine. You're bringing it to the show. I don't want to shame you on it.
No, it's fine.
You can bail out of that thing if you have to. Just remember that, okay? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I think the Jets are the bottom of the barrel. I'm not being, I'm just realistically, I think what Dan's trying to tell you is the probability and percentage of that bet being profitable is lower than any other position.
I just have one more question. Yeah. I mean, are you guys not worried at all about Mac Jones? Like, sometimes there is a sophomore slump, and in this case, you take away Josh McDaniels, you take away some of the things that he was used to, you input some new receivers that he's never seen before. It's just kind of a weird, you know, it's not exactly giving him the continuity he needs.
Hey, thanks, Corey. Sorry, we're just up against it. His point is, and Dan, I'll start while we do our Patriots breakdown here. I have the under 8.5. Now, this, I gave this pick out a while back because I thought the number could move and et cetera. This is an unbiased take. Again, I work for the team now. I do their post game shows, so I have to be critical of them. I do think that offensively they're going to be fine. I think Mac Jones will take the step. The coaching thing could come into question, but overall, I think that they should be a better offense. They averaged 27 points per game last year. So I think they'll be better. The defense is where I do worry about them. I think there's still communication issues with their coordinator, and I do think that their talent is they're slow. Now, they are running a different defense this year with more safeties. It's either going to work or it doesn't. So I have the under. What's going against me, and I've talked to you about this, Dan, is that the schedule and their opponents and their coaches – they dominate versus first-year and second-year coaches. They dominate against them. They're so just like polished that they're just smarter than them and make better plays than them. So despite not having the talent, which I agree is down, and some other things, I think the number is dead on. Like, you're either going to hit 9 or 10 wins or you're going to be at 8. It's dead on. I'm going under, and we can look at their team, Dan, but I'm just trying to give an unbiased take on it. Yep. That I think they could be worse than they were a year ago, despite being a playoff team a year ago. So the Belichick versus coaches thing is what's really killing me, because, dude, when we look at this schedule, this is a winnable 9-10 game schedule for the Patriots. It just is, and I know you're on that side, and that's why I'm saying my bet is because I'm dying on my hill. You know what I mean? But really looking at it, this is a 9 or 10 win Patriots team.
Yeah, and again, just going back to Corey's point, the Patriots bring in two new wide receivers, if you include Tyquan Thornton and Devontae Parker, but they have the same tight ends, the same running backs, unless you include Pierre Strong, who I really don't. Maybe he'll get integrated in the second half of the year. And they bring back 4 of the 5 same offensive linemen. The Jets have a new running back, have a new wide receiver, 2 new tight ends, and 2 new offensive linemen. and they have a quarterback who struggled last year. So I guess I don't really get the consistency of Mac Jones, but we're not going to talk about the consistency of Zach Wilson, who also was worse last year and is also in his second year. That just kind of doesn't really make any sense to me. But moving on, just talking about the Patriots and looking at them. Look, I think they got better at the wide receiver position, adding Devontae Parker. I think that's going to be another addition for them. Tyquan Thornton to me is going to be an addition to them. He's obviously going to bring some speed to the outside. I think Ty Montgomery and even your boy Joe Murray, Lil Jordan Humphrey could potentially add and kind of be helpful in that position. I think Cole Strange is a good addition, hopefully on the offensive line. I think that's going to make them a little bit of a deeper unit there. So offensively, as you said, Joe, I'm not really concerned with them either. I think that they'll be similar. They may take a small step back because it's a new system, but by week 4 or 5, I'm sure that they'll probably be in a good place. So I'm not really concerned there. I do think that they're going to take some strides in the front seven, Joe, yeah. Especially with Godshall and Barmore.
Yeah, And Godshall got the big contract, you know?
Right, and I think those guys are going to play a lot more. I think they're going to be really good up front. My question is, are you going to be able to get the same type of production out of Matt Judon as you did early in the season last year? Or is he going to be more the guy who was in the second half of the season where he kind of fell off a little bit? Are you going to have a guy like Mac Wilson step up in the linebacking core? Are you going to have Anthony, are you going to have one of these linebackers you've been developing, whether it's Mac Wilson or who you just traded for? Is it Josh Uche? Is he going to be the guy? Ronnie Perkins is apparently having a pretty decent camp. Is it going to be Anthony Jennings? You have to have some of these guys step up in the linebacking core. I think to me, that's going to be maybe their most important position, is who steps up there. And really, the big question of it all is who steps up in the secondary. And I think that to me is going to be the biggest issue. Now, they're going to rotate Duggar, McCourty, and Phillips, and probably Jabril Peppers too. But losing a guy like J.C. Jackson, it opens up way more passing opportunities. And I think to me, that is where I'm a little bit scared, Joe, is that that the passing offense, when they face really good quarterbacks, that's my concern. And again, even a quarterback like Tua, week one, when he has guys like Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, that's a concern for me. Like, I personally don't like the Patriots, and the number on, Sunday, September 11th. I think that is a bad situation, a bad matchup for them.
Yeah, so I think that they're slow. Now, I know they got Thornton, right, on offense. We both agreed, Dan, we think they're going to figure it out on offense. Defensively, the pass rush is what freaks me out. It freaks me out. They're going to have to get pressure up front. It's going to have to come from Barmore, Godshall. You mentioned those guys. And they have a plethora. You mentioned all the names, Dan, between Josh Uche, Ronnie Perkins, Mac Wilson, who they got, Cameron McGrone. They need one guy to rush the passer that's consistent and can be a threat. They need just one of them. So I don't think any of them will. Raekwon McMillan can be something if he's healthy. I really believe that. Yep. But I don't think Juwan Bentley can play against the run. He's a first down guy, Dan, and I think that's all he is. He cannot cover. Judon, you mentioned it. He fell off last year. He fell off. He needs to be consistent. I do think Terrence Mitchell's a fine addition. Just a fine corner. Just put him out there. He's going to be fine.
He's going to be good.
He's not fast. He's not great. He's just a fine player. And I think Jalen Mills is a playmaker that's starting to learn how to play corner. I don't think he's great, but he's a starter.
I think Mills is going to be better this year than other people expect.
Agree.
But you still need Jonathan Jones to stay healthy. Yep. I mean, and again, I really like the addition of Sean Wade last year. When the kid played at Ohio State, he was fantastic.
He's getting reps every day. They're giving him a lot of reps.
Is a guy like Sean Wade going to step up? What about Marcus and Jack Jones? Like, they have the depth, so I think that they will have one or two guys emerge, Joe. Mm. But the thing is, consistency and obviously not getting hurt is going to be the big thing there.
So pass rush is one thing. I think they'll piece together a secondary that really was bad last year. I mean, I'd like to see somebody ready to go after McCourty. Is it Bledsoe? I don't know. But the kid Jack Jones is, I'm high on, Dan. I'm very skedaddled, a few problems, right? But he was a hell of a player at Arizona State. He potentially is like a first, second round talent that went in the fourth round because he's got
definitely
he's got some things. So they need to hit. And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to bet on they need this, they need that, someone to hit. I think they're going to struggle defensively. I just think they're going to. Their offense is going to keep them in games. And Nick Folk's back. I think he's been very consistent. Jake Bailey's been very good. So special teams, they're going to be fine. But they do need some things to happen. But the schedule's favorable, and this is where I'm going with it. They get the Dolphins, but it's winnable. Steelers, they should win. Ravens is winnable. Packers, hey, it's a winnable game, but I think their defense can struggle.
So I think all four games in the first 4 weeks are winnable. Here's the thing. Green Bay doesn't really have – without Davante Adams, what's
they
that?
They have questions. You're right, Dan.
They have questions. Alan Lazard is going to be their number one wide receiver. So I actually think that that matchup favors the Patriots because the Patriots can actually match up man-to-man with Green Bay. Now,
what if they can't stop the run?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I didn't mention that, Tuck, but that's a huge thing. If they're worried about their pass rush and their secondary, they could give up on the run, and they did that last year.
Bingo. And I think that stopping the run this year is going to be they're going to need to stop the run and force teams in passing situations to be successful. And Tuck, that's exactly what I was going to say. 100% I agree with you. Can they stop Aaron Jones in the run? But I think that they're going to match up.
And Dylan.
Yeah.
I actually don't think Dylan's a great runner. I think he's better as a pass catcher than a runner. But either way, you're talking about both of them. But either way, look at the schedule in the first 4 weeks, really with the exception of Miami, you're looking at teams that don't have a ton of wide receiver talent. And so early on, your secondary actually matches up decently well versus those teams. You really should be 2-2 in those first 4 weeks. Now, three games are on the road. If you end up starting 1-3, you know, it's not great. But look at the schedule, how it breaks after that. Home versus Detroit, at Cleveland without Deshaun Watson, home versus Chicago at the Jets. You should be going there 3-1.
Yep.
In that stretch.
You should have six wins. You should be going in the Colts at 5-3, 6-2, something like that.
And by the way, now Indianapolis, now they're a team that you're going to get before the bye. You have the Jets the week before, a team you already know, so you'll probably be able to study for Indianapolis a little bit better.
Thanksgiving.
And then you have the Jets, and then again off the bye with at home, which I expect to win based upon that. But then the schedule gets hard again: at Minnesota, home versus Buffalo, at Arizona, and at Vegas. Meaning they're probably going to stay out on the West Coast for that trip. You'd expect them because that's a Monday to Sunday game. Yep. You're probably going to expect them to stay on the West Coast.
And then you finish Bengals on Christmas Eve, Dolphins on New Year's Day.
That Buffalo game was Thursday Night Football, by the way.
Yeah, short week.
And Buffalo. Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, it's not a short week because they're playing Minnesota.
Because they got the Thanksgiving. That's right.
Minnesota, so it's not a short week. And they have a long week going in Arizona because that is a Monday night game. Mm-hmm. The only short week they have is that game in Vegas, which is a Monday to Sunday game. And from Arizona to Vegas, by the way, is not a very long trip, especially if they're staying out there. So the schedule, again, another situation where I think the schedule, even though it's very difficult looking at the second half of that, the schedule breaks better for them. And again, I'm just going to say it. I'm not very high on Vegas this year. However, I think that they're going to match up very well against the Patriots secondary because of the fact that they have so many options to throw the ball to. It's going to depend on Derek Carr and that defense. But I think that that's going to be a very tough game to win. But again, looking at the schedule, they should match up decently in Minnesota. Buffalo is going to be a very tough game. I don't expect them to win that even at home. Arizona, Las Vegas, I think you're hoping for a split there. And then ending with Cincinnati, Miami, Buffalo. You know, Miami deep in the season in cold Foxborough, you're hoping for a win there. If you can beat Cincinnati at home and go 2-1 the final few weeks there. Again, I think the Patriots are going to win 9 or 10 games. I really do. And I know where you're coming from, Joe, but it's the same thing that we did with the Red Sox. Early in the year, you were just like, well, 84.5, this team should be better, right?
Yeah.
They should be better. And I told you, I don't think they're going to be good. I think they're going to regress. They got really lucky at certain points last year. They didn't have a great offseason. I think they're going to regress. Now everyone's kind of doing the reverse style. I don't think the Patriots are going to be good. I don't think the Patriots are going to be good, which probably means they're probably going to be better than expected because almost almost everyone using the eye test and the paper test is almost always wrong. That it's a fallacy in sports betting that the eye test and the paper test work. They just don't, because if that was the case, everyone would be winning. It just doesn't happen. So really, in my opinion, I think the Patriots are probably going to be slightly better than expected, just as I thought the Red Sox would be slightly worse than expected.
Yep.
I think it's going to be more of a consistent along those lines type deal. Yeah.
I've bet the Patriots over every year and it's hit. It's been very good.
So I think it's going to be close. I think the number is very close this year.
I don't feel good about them. But let me give you a few Easter eggs on some of these games. Okay. The Vikings on Thanksgiving Day. Please look into Kirk Cousins' record on Thursday games, dude. He stinks.
Primetime games in general.
He's the worst primetime quarterback in the NFL.
So do I think the Vikings with Jefferson and Cook and all those guys, like, could they give the Patriots fits? Absolutely. Can Kirk Cousins, you know, play a game against an exotic defense? It's still a questionable. So, like, that's a game, Dan, that they should steal. They should steal that one. The Cardinals game. Let me just throw that one out at you. This is the Cardinals that they beat a few years ago. Remember the late hit on, I bet the Cardinals that game. But remember Cam Newton got a late hit out of bounds and they got the flag and then they kicked the field goal and won the game?
Yep.
I'm still not over that one. But the Cardinals for the Patriots that week, it's a Monday night football game and Belichick has extra time to prepare.
Yep.
And I know that DeAndre Hopkins is suspended, but he'll be back by then too.
Yep, he'll be back. But by the way, that Minnesota game, Joe, yeah. Minnesota has Dallas on deck, and so it's a short week coming off Dallas.
Okay. But this is what I'm trying to say is that that's a game they should steal. I think the Cardinals, despite being on the road, that a Monday night football game, I know it's Monday night, and I think that's a winnable game for the Patriots.
It's a toss-up game.
And then the Raiders, I don't know where it's going to go, but the last game of the year, watch this one, Bills. If the Bills run through like everyone seems to think, they're not going to have to. That game's not important to them unless it's for the first round bye. The number one seed's locked up. If the Bills don't need to play that game, they won't, and that's a win for the Patriots.
Oh, I don't know if they want to let the Patriots in the playoffs. So
well, that would be another flip side thing too. But don't you feel like they have the advantage at home in that one? Kind of considering last year.
I honestly feel like maybe they would. I guess maybe,
it's like maybe the Celtics wanted the Nets. You know what I mean? It's like
you're right. We'll lose this one,
and the Pats get in, and we don't have to watch them. But they're going to play Kansas City in the first round. Yeah,
it's a good point. It's a good point. I just think that's one
where if they need to sneak, if they're at eight and they need to sneak one in, you know, that one they can. And this schedule is favorable to the Patriots this year. I think in reality, we're looking at it as, oh, they're struggling at practice already. They're looking at it as, psh, the schedule, we can win every week with the team we have.
Yep.
And I think they can. So I'm going under only because every year I've hit over. I don't feel good about it, but oof, that schedule is very favorable. Actually, it'd be disappointing if they didn't win 9 or 10 games, to be honest with you.
Yep.
Based off this schedule? All right, well, we'll look at the Miami Dolphins. Yes, the Dolphins and your calls next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The DraftKings over-under show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5 The
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.